This podcast is brought to you by Howie's Store. Save 50% on restaurants, hotels, and more. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Nothing will stand in our way as we pursue any avenue to find what best works against this horrible virus. So chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine. Now, this is a common malaria drug.
I want to thank the president. He said that he would bring the Army Corps of Engineers here. They came here the next day. I spoke to him last night to follow up on the meeting. I want to thank the president.
Hell!
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studio.
Just in Act 1 of this. Act 2 is when the hospitals start to get jammed.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies.
When our,
lack of supplies.
Healthcare professionals don't have the supplies they need to keep them safe.
Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
And they go down.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together.
But this is the reality we seem to be facing.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
I have lived through 9/11. I lost three people, three friends that I knew in the towers. I was there through the crash of 2008. But this is the worst of all.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Why was the United States not prepared with more testing?
We were very prepared. The only thing we weren't prepared for was the media. The media has not treated it fairly. I'll tell you how prepared I was. I called for a ban from people coming in from China long before anybody thought it was. In fact, it was your network. I believe they called me a racist because I did that.
Burn!
It was many of the people in the room. They called me racist and other words.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Now they're talking about a vaccine within a year, and that these old malaria remedies might be used against the plague. And so their irritation and their exasperation becomes ever greater. They're just so angry, and they don't even today they were forced to ask him about the trials that are beginning, and it's going to take a while, a year supposedly. We're going to have a doctor on at the bottom of the hour to talk about this, but their anger is just it's really amazing. I mean, he's totally in control, and Pence and the whole team. I mean, they're doing the best they can, and they're still just trying to play this gotcha game. You know, can you guarantee they're not going to be corp? How can you guarantee anything? This is real life. You don't know what's going to happen. They're just trying to set up a future gotcha moments. The double standard here is just breathtaking. This is like Stephanopoulos back with Mitt Romney back in 2012. Will you outlaw abortion? How does the president of the United States outlaw abortion? I mean, Mitt Romney, I mean, I'm not a big fan, obviously, but, you know, he was asked these kinds of questions that would never have been asked, are never asked of Democrats. And the same thing keeps going on here. I mean, things are as much in control as they can be here. And they're spewing anger. Their questions drip with contempt. Not all of them, but some of them do. And I hate to say it, especially the women. What are the women so angry about? And Schumer too. Schumer's another one of these fake tough guys, isn't he? I lost three friends in the towers. I mean, you're from the Northeast. Most people in the Northeast knew at least secondhand, many firsthand, people that died on 9/11. That's the way. That's 3,000 people were killed, and you're from New York City. It happened in New York City. A lot of people in Connecticut, Jersey, Massachusetts, New Hampshire lost people. And yeah, what a fraud that. And then he says, "Oh, well it's they're going to give him some money for the first month, but what about the second month?" God. You know, I just keep thinking about this. I like to read about the early days of World War II, especially, you know, when it was really dark. And, you know, they were really, you know, read the James Ellroy novels about California when they were really worried about the Japanese storming ashore at night. Down here in Palm Beach, they turned off all the lights because the U-boats were just lurking offshore. Can you imagine Franklin Delano Roosevelt getting, I mean, they're comparing this to one of the great national emergencies of all time, which doesn't seem like it is to me. But if it is, can you imagine Franklin Delano Roosevelt being asked these kinds of questions, or Abraham Lincoln? Come on. Or JFK during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Can you guarantee that the Russians aren't going to put any missiles into Cuba? God. 844-500-4242. It's 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. And then, you know, but it's not only Schumer. I mean, we finally found the Bernie Sanders cut here. Now, remember something about Bernie Sanders. He is one of 535 members of Congress. 535. But apparently, he thinks he's running the show. He's not even a chairman of any committee. He's a member of a minority, the minority party in the so-called upper chamber. He has no responsibilities other than being mayor of Burlington, which is a very small city, and I think he was pretty much constrained by the city council back in those days. He's never had any real responsibilities. But yet he listen to him. It's not the greatest audio quality, but we finally got something here. This is him with CNN's Manu Raju, cut one.
Just untrue. We sent out a statement.
What's your time frame?
I'm here to talk with this. I'm dealing with a global crisis. You know, we're dealing with it. You're asking me these questions, right?
You're running for president, so just,
well, right now I'm running. Right now I'm trying to do my best to make sure that we don't have an economic meltdown and that people don't die. Is that enough for you? To keep me busy for tonight?
Having to rely on Bernie Sanders to rescue the national health and save the nation's economy, I would call that a bleeping global crisis.
Blah, 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 blah.
207 says, "Hey, Obama, can you guarantee that if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor?" That's a good way to put it. Can you guarantee that if you like your health insurance, even if you call it a bad apple health insurance plan, we can keep our bad apple health insurance plan? President Obama, can you guarantee that we're going to save $2,500 on our health premiums? He said all that stuff, and nobody ever called him out on it, did they? No, nobody in the none of these shrieking harridans and shrews that are there. I love the way President Trump handled them too this morning when he walks in and says, "Hey, you know, it's getting a little roomier here. You know, there's fewer of you here. Maybe just for strictly for health reasons, we should get rid of another 75-80% of you." It was great. 844-500-4242. Yeah. President Kennedy, are you sure you have not been colluding with the Russians? Well, we know his brother was colluding with the Russians. His brother, when he went over to Moscow in 1956, I believe it was, with who was the Supreme Court justice? Oh, I forget which one it was now. But anyway, he went over with one of the Supreme Court justices. And on a trip, and he requested that they send up a woman of ill repute. That document showed up in the KGB documents that were declassified in the 1980s. So Bobby was definitely colluding with the Russian prostitutes, which they, of course, accused Trump of doing. Only it wasn't true for him. 844-500-4242. 339 says, Senator Sanders, how's that universal health care working in Italy?
Well, I'm not going to put through a system like they have in Italy. We'll have a better one like they have in Scandinavia.
That's every he always says if the, you know, socialism, that's not the kind he's putting in. He's putting in the good social, you know, the good socialism. He's putting in the kind of socialism where they don't, where you don't end up with mass genocide and mass starvation, and the petite bourgeois or some other group of people that are deemed deemed inconvenient to the powers that be. 844-500-4242. We've got a lot planned here today, a lot of guests, and I'm Howie Carr.
He's New England's talk radio king. He's Howie Carr.
This is Kevin from Brockton.
This is Karen from Boiling Springs, South Carolina.
From Boiling Springs, Mark, calling from beautiful Stratford County, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Okay, these are trying times if you're trying to get to Europe or, God forbid, on a cruise ship. You're not getting there, obviously, and probably you don't want to be there. But you can still drive. Prices are extremely low for gasoline. It's a good time to be driving, that's for sure. So we have a special cheap bastard deal for an easy drive.
It's Howie Carr's cheap bastard deal.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds too good to be true.
Oh, no, it's real, and it's a steal.
You know there's plenty more when you shop at Howie's store for another Howie Carr cheap bastard deal.
Howie Carr. The cheapest bastard around.
Camden, Maine is not that far away. And again, the price of gasoline continues to decrease. I've heard about it being 99 cents in some places these days. It's under $2 in a lot of places. So it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg to get there. In Camden, Maine, there's the Bayview Collection. It's three properties, three inns. And today we have $200 value gift cards for $100 each to the Lord Camden Inn in Camden, Maine. $200 gift card for $100. So this is a good way if you want to get out of the city, out of this madness for a few days. Get to Maine, Camden, Maine. The days are getting longer, and you can use this card. So we only have a few available, so go to HowieCarrShow.com, click on store. Joining us now is Matthew Levin. He's the director of hotels for the Bayview Collection, all of the Bayview. That includes the Lord Camden Inn, the Grand Harbor Inn, and 16 Bayview. Today, specifically, we're selling gift certificates to the Lord Camden Inn. Tell us about the Lord Camden Inn, Matthew Levin.
Hi, Howie. Pleasure being here. Hello, Grace and Taylor. Thank you so much. Lord Camden Inn is probably one of the most prominent properties in Camden. We opened in 1984. It's located right on Main Street. It's a historic building. It used to be a Masonic Hall. And it's one of Camden's most recognized hotels, and it's within walking distance to just about everything in town. So guests, once they check in, can walk to all the restaurants, shops, galleries, and the harbor right across the street. It's a beautiful property.
That's great. And is everything cool still in Camden, or are they going to have a problem right now, or is this for late down the road? I assume the Lord Camden Inn is open now, right?
Yes. The two of our properties are open right now. Grand Harbor Inn, we close seasonally anyway, and it opens in April. And, you know, we've experienced a little craziness with some cancellations, but we are seeing some bookings. A lot of guests that had big trips booked, say a cruise or a Disney vacation, and they had to change plans, and we've seen some last-minute reservations to Camden. So we are a great destination, a perceived safe place with great recreational outdoor activities. So I think people are kind of seeing an option here.
Tell our listeners how far away Camden is from Boston.
So we're really, I think, within a very short drive in my mind. We're about 3.5 hours north of Boston, so an hour and a half north of Portland and an hour and a half south of Bar Harbor. So we're right in the mid-coast, great location for exploring the whole coastal villages of Maine along the seaside.
Great. And so this is for the Lord Camden Inn, but you've also got the Grand Harbor Inn and 16 Bayview. Tell us a little bit about those places as well. People were interested in that.
Yeah, so you mentioned earlier we are the Bayview Collection, and Grand Harbor Inn is one of our smaller properties. It's located right on the harbor. It's both Grand Harbor and 16 Bayview, which are next to each other, we're very proud. They're four diamond properties. Grand Harbor Inn is known for kind of an exclusive feel. We have a lot of returning guests there, large suites, all with water views, some right on the waterfront. 16 Bayview is our newest property. It's in an old historic brick building, but we've renovated and gutted the whole place 4 years ago and turned it into a beautiful upscale kind of contemporary property, all with balconies, many with harbor views. And what's known best for 16 Bayview is our rooftop bar called The View, and it's open obviously from June through October, and it's one of Midcoast Maine's kind of more popular bar and small plate venues. And so I want to mention also. Oh, go ahead. Howard.
Could people use the gift cards at the Lord Camden Inn if they get them now? Can they use them immediately?
Well, yes. So we plan to allow use of the gift cards all the way through May 31st, 2021. So if people aren't comfortable traveling now, we've got the ability to apply those gift cards well into the future when things kind of get back to normal. And the gift cards are applied to some of our most popular rooms. So it's for a two or more night stay at Lord Camden Inn and any Fireplace Deluxe, Full Harbor View, or Fireplace Suite, which are our most beautiful rooms.
Okay, because I think a lot of people would like to get out of town right about yesterday, you know. Just to,
that's right.
So I just wanted to make sure that they can use them whenever they want, just in the next in the near future. So that's okay.
Absolutely.
So this is
and
a 200.
All three of our properties are pet friendly as well. I wanted to mention.
Okay, great, pet friendly. And how many people can you put in one of these rooms?
Well, most rooms are can accommodate up to four guests, so our larger rooms often have a king bed with a pull-out sofa or two queen beds, so we can accommodate a family of four. Most of our guests are traveling usually just as a couple, so two people, but we can accommodate up to four guests easily in several of our rooms.
Excellent. It sounds great. I look forward to getting up there. And again, this is in Camden, Maine. This is go to HowieCarShow.com, click on store. This is today's cheap bastard deal. These are $200 value gift cards for $100 each, and you can use them immediately. Get the hell out of Dodge and get up to Midcoast Maine, Camden, Maine. It's a beautiful town, and you can stay at the Lord Camden Inn and chill out for a little bit for a day or a weekend or however long you want. Get away from the craziness. This is a great deal. So and again, we don't have many of these. So get to them as soon as you can, and don't be left holding the bag. 50 gift cards, $200 each for $100. $100 each. Thank you, Matthew Levin. We'll see you up. We'll see you up in Camden, Maine, at the Lord Camden. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
1-844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. Dr. Brett DeLone was on Rush's show with the fill-in host earlier today. He did a great job. He has a talk show on Saturday mornings on one of the big talk stations in Pennsylvania. He's a board-certified general surgeon. And we just wanted to bring him on to answer some questions about the situation with the pandemic. Dr. DeLone, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Thanks, Howie. It's my pleasure.
It's going to take a while, I guess, to come up with a vaccine. At the president's daily briefing today, they talked it might take a year, even with speeded up FDA trials. So let me ask you first about this old malaria drug, hydroxychloroquine. Is that how you pronounce it? Chloroquine.
Yep.
Like quinine, right?
Go ahead.
Is this drug available now, and how successful do you think they've been? They're talking about how this might be a good way to stop the virus. Is this possible? How good are these tests that they're conducting?
Well, the information on all the drugs that they have tested to try and slow down the antiviral type drugs are preliminary. They've got small numbers of cases, and there's lots of different drugs that have been tried. So this is just one of them. They're also trying some chemo-type drugs. They're also trying some different antiviral drugs. And the results have been mostly good, but mixed. So there are very good studies being done right now on chloroquine, on some of the other drugs. And they're expecting those results to be in by May. In the meantime, the FDA is fast-tracking these drugs to be used for this problem. And, it's beyond hopeful. I think it's something that doctors are going to be considering for every patient that gets diagnosed with this.
So, if people are concerned, and some of us are more concerned than others, and if you are concerned, could you go out and go to your physician and say, can you prescribe me some Plaquenil? I guess that's the brand name.
Plaquenil is the trade name.
Name. Is that a prescription drug, or is that over the counter?
No, it's a prescription drug, and it's available, probably widely available in pharmacies. Here's the problem with running out and getting it. For most people who get this virus, more than 80% of people, this is going to be a mild infection like the flu.
Right.
81 or 82%. If you're young and you're healthy, you're probably not going to get very sick. If everybody in America went out and got a prescription filled for Plaquenil, there'd be a shortage. And then we wouldn't have enough to take care of the people who are hospitalized, who are sick, who are elderly, who are at risk. So it's a good thing for us that this drug is showing potential, and it's a good thing for us that this drug is widely available. What we don't want to do is to turn this into one of the other drugs that shows potential, but it isn't available yet. So I would certainly ask your doctor about it if you get ill, but let's husband this resource, effectively.
Considering that in large parts of the country it's difficult to buy toilet paper right now, I'm going to predict that there's going to be a real shortage of Plaquenil within a matter of hours if there isn't one already. Wouldn't you think? I mean, I'm not saying you should rush out, but that's the way it is. You know how it goes.
Yeah, I would tell you that the drugs that show the most promise are remdesivir and favipiravir. Those are antiviral drugs that are much less available. One is not FDA approved yet, and it's used in Japan, and the other one is an intravenous drug. The remdesivir is probably the drug that I think shows the most promise, and they are using that in sick patients across the United States and Europe. Mm-hmm. But it's not that available. It's an intravenous drug.
Now, how about these vaccines that they're developing? I mean, I know a year in FDA terms is like lightning fast. But, I mean, can't they speed it up any more than that?
I mean, it's like Apollo. You said you were a history guy.
Yeah.
They're throwing so much money at this. If you went to them and said, hey, I'd like to work on a vaccine for COVID-19, they'd say, here's your grant for $10 million. Call us next week, see if you need more money. So they're doing everything they can to try and it's multiple major corporations, huge international pharmaceutical companies are working on this. They're working on an RNA vaccine, a DNA vaccine, a protein-based vaccine, an immune-type vaccine. It's just that the process takes a while. And the SARS vaccine, which was developed at the time that the SARS infection happened, it took 20 months. And at that time, that was a record.
Mm-hmm. One of my texters says, ask the doctor to clarify whether, in fact, the increase in confirmed cases in New York is really a function of increased texting and not necessarily spreading.
You mean testing, right? So
testing, yes.
It's probably something of a function of both, but the real problem is that population density increases your risk of passing the virus person to person,
right.
And that not socially distancing ourselves increases the risk of passing the virus person to person. And I don't think the city of New York has done as good a job as some other areas of getting the message out that people need to, as I said earlier on the Rush show, we need to stand shoulder to shoulder, but 6 feet apart, and keep that distance that allows this virus to be mitigated or even suppressed if we're lucky.
You know, once you have this kind of virus spreading, how much can you stop it? I'm asking this question in terms of, the president keeps saying, he's not the only one that's saying if the Chinese had been honest, around Christmas about the extent of this problem, it would have been much easier to deal with it. I mean, what could we have done other than just totally closing the borders even earlier than we did? And President Trump was one of the first Western leaders to close the borders. Is there anything else we could have done? What could China have done to make this less of a problem here in the U.S.?
They could have recognized it sooner. They did the right things, but they did them too late. And I don't know whether that was because they weren't believing their own people. That's certainly possible. It was because in other experiences, they've done it sooner. So we have a choice in this country. We can either be South Korea, which managed to mitigate and suppress the spread of the virus by getting people to stay in their apartments and stay home, or we can be Italy, and really the rest of Europe. Spain's going to be worse than Italy if you look at the growth and the diseases there. So what we can do now is try and suppress the virus by literally keeping our distance from our fellow citizens and not being the one who spreads the virus. You see these kids at the beach in Florida, they're irresponsibly infecting each other. They just don't know it. And the problem is, even though they might be okay because they're young and strong, they're going to take that virus as a vector to old people, sick people, their parents, their grandparents, and they're going to need hospital care that's going to be, going to be surged with patients over the next 3, 4, 6 weeks.
What is the positive negative rates for the current tests? How many people show up positive who take the test?
So far, the nationwide number that I've seen is 11%.
11%, and the people that are taking the test.
Depends on which population you are. So if I gave this test to somebody in New York City, the chances that it would be positive will be higher because of the spread of the virus in New York City. Much lower in Idaho, much higher in Washington State, really high in Italy or Madrid. So it depends on the population where you are, what the chances are that the test will come back positive.
And does it? Are you more likely to come back positive the older you are, or does that, or is this just not a function of age?
The older you are, the more likely you are to get sick from it. So, so for most people, young people, they won't need a hospital. You know, in the 20s, your chances of needing a hospital for this problem is 1.2%. In your 70s, your chances of needing a hospital for this problem is 24.3%. That if you had 100 people who were in their 70s who got COVID-19. A quarter of them would need to be hospitalized. Big difference.
Mm-hmm. So
that's why the older people need to be especially careful.
Well, I mean, so I hate to come back to this to Plaquenil, but if you're older, do you need to buy some Plaquenil just to be on the safe side?
If I was going to encourage any segment of the population to consider asking their doctor about Plaquenil, it would be the at-risk group with underlying conditions like cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, cancer, immunosuppressed people, and people who are over 70.
Would you take Plaquenil like a multivitamin in the morning?
No, that would be a waste. It has antiviral properties that won't do any good. It won't. You need to have the virus. You need to. So if I got a prescription for Plaquenil filled, I wouldn't take it until I either had symptoms that were very, very characteristic of COVID-19, And those symptoms are a cough or a sore throat, a fever, body aches, and sometimes diarrhea. Or until I had been tested for COVID-19, because if you get the flu and you take this, you won't be helping the flu any, and you won't, and you'll be wasting the medication.
But so the problem, though, here is those symptoms you just described could be the flu, right?
They could be, but the flu season is winding down at this point. And flu tests are easy to get and plentiful and quick. So if you have those symptoms, you can go get a flu test. If that test is positive, you have the flu. If that test is negative, it's more concerning that you would have COVID-19, even if the COVID-19 test isn't as quick or isn't as widely available.
But isn't the coronavirus susceptible to warmth and heat, just like flu? I mean, as the weather gets warmer everywhere in the northern hemisphere, the chances of the coronavirus being passed decline, right?
That's not known with COVID-19. And in fact, there's some evidence from Australia where they're having summer and quite a significant outbreak that will not be true. Although we really won't know until we actually get into the hemisphere, northern hemisphere summer. The hope was that many coronaviruses do that. That may not be true for COVID-19.
Okay. So how soon do you think we're going to have a handle on this? I mean, that we can reopen restaurants and bars and bring people back to work. I mean, how long is this going to go on? Do we have any idea yet, or is it just uncharted waters?
If you use the example of the Asian countries that have already done this, and if you look at the epidemiology of how long this takes, in the course of the disease, the numbers of people, I think it's reasonable that if we do the right job, sort of locking down this country and social distancing, we can see a light at the end of the tunnel as soon as 7 or 8 weeks.
That's a long time.
But it is a long time.
Do a
and
lot
I
of
would,
damage.
I would reassure your listeners that you guys have great health care in Boston. The doctors and nurses, PAs, administrators, everybody's working hard to get those hospitals ready to go so they can take good care of people. A lot of planning going into place, changing elective surgery schedules, getting resources as much as are available, ready to go to do a great job of taking care of everybody who needs our help.
Okay. Doctor, will you come on with us next week? You're a font of information, and your radio training does you well in this situation. Can you come back with us next week sometime?
I'm happy to update your listeners anytime that you'd like me to.
Thanks. One last question. One of our Uber drivers wants to know, is Plaquenil contraindicated for any other problems? I mean, if you have is there some things you can't use it for if you're taking a pill for something else? Might you have a problem with Plaquenil?
Yes. In fact, it's like any other medication. There's some associated problems to do with high blood pressure, with heart disease. And I wouldn't recommend anybody consider taking Plaquenil without having a conversation with their doctor about what reactions it might have and cross-reactions it might have with medications that they're already on.
Okay. I'm not suggesting everybody go run out to your doctor and do this, but I know a lot of people, doctor, are nervous about this, and they're going to see this as some kind of panacea. And I just want them to understand what this drug is all about. But it's not a panacea, is it? It's just a potential tool.
It's exactly right. We've got a list of tools. It's getting longer every day. Plaquenil is one of them. And social distancing is probably the most important thing that people can do right now to try and limit the spread of this virus, to shorten the duration, to, as they say, flatten the curve so that the hospitals are less overwhelmed or not overwhelmed at all and get us through this as quickly as possible. As I said earlier, shoulder to shoulder, but 6 feet apart.
All right, Dr. Brett DeLone, we really appreciate you being with us, and we'll talk to you again next week if we can. Thank you. Thank you again very much.
Good luck.
Good, thank you. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Deb in Danielson, Connecticut.
This is Greg in Boston, Mass.
This is Elizabeth in Wakefield, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Terry Riley of Robert Paul Properties. Terry is your Cape Cod real estate expert. Her vast experience will help you navigate the market and make the progress easy and fun. Call Terry at 508-776-6182. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Is Andrew Cuomo auditioning for the Democratic nomination in case Biden can't handle it?
How else do you describe the fact that he has a press conference every morning now from Albany right before the president goes on? He's like he's the opening act for the coronavirus task force at the White House. And he's doing okay. I'm not a big Cuomo fan, but he's certainly, at least he's a sentient human being, unlike the front runner.
Well, he's just got to be out there showing everybody how buff he is during the virus to inspire them.
No, I don't think people care how buff he is. It's just that he can speak in complete sentences and he remembers what state he's in, you know, and how are they going to put Biden out there? I mean, even if this thing gets resolved, I mean, it's just going to remind people how that he, where is Biden? Is he hiding? I don't know. Hiding Biden. So what are people saying?
83% say, yes, Andrew Cuomo is auditioning for the Democratic nomination.
I think the first day he did it, I said, why is he doing this? The second day I began to get the, Today I said, 3 days in a row, it's more than a coincidence. 844-500-4242. Jay from Chelsea says, geez, Howie, you sort of sounded like a hypochondriac there. Come down with a case of the sniffles. Can we take the drug like a daily vitamin? Dan Rather and I both agree. Courage. Jay, do you really think that I'm really concerned about this? I'm concerned about the economy. I'm concerned about Trump getting reelected so that the Democrats don't destroy the country. I'm not worried about this, but I know a lot of people are. And I just figured that, you know, this doctor, this physician, Brent DeLone, he's pretty damn good as far as I can see. And so I just wanted to ask the questions I thought people would want to know. In the meantime, now we're going to take a break and I'm going to call my doctor and see if I can get a prescription. Not that I'm scared, you understand, but Plaquenil. That's what I want tonight. I'm Howie Carr.